Hello and welcome to Diner Night. This is co-host Taylor Reinhardt. I'm sitting in Alden Library at 3 a.m. just having finished up the edits on this week's episode, and boy, is it a good one. We talk about Taibo, summer gym, diet, making your own Oreos, pushover teachers, and many other topics with guest host Chase Montavon of OU Improv and Blue Pencil Comedy, as well as guest Barbara Jewell, one of the founding members of the Gluten-Free Alliance, with other co-host Hannah Takoris. So without further ado, let's give it to Matt Albany with Diner Night Episode 5 and a Weird Al-esque parody song.
It's Diner Night. Pancakes, they're so fluffy. Diner Night.
That's Diner Night.
It is 9:45 in Union Street Diner. You know what that means? It's nighttime and we're in a diner. Sounds like Diner Night.
Depends who you talk to.
Right. I am Taylor Reinhardt.
Hannah Takoris.
Matthew Albany.
Chase Montavon.
Our guest tonight will be Barbara Babs Jewell. She is here to talk about a number of things, including the Gluten-Free Alliance. And we will have her on shortly. Shortly. That means don't put the mic in her goddamn face, Chase.
I'm rookie.
It's my turn to pick the word for the day, and I have picked it. And the word for the day is traffic. So stories about traffic, whether you are in it, interacting with it, automobiles in general. We got a long list. So let's start with Hannah tonight.
So my siblings and I went on a vacation with my mom. Obviously, we didn't just go. It was in 2006. My aunt and uncle were getting married. And so we went to the wedding in Phoenix, and then we just went to California. And we'd been really shitty, and my mom had locked us into one of the rooms of the hotel, and she locked herself in the other room. And then at the end of that day, she was like, "We're gonna go to a nice restaurant." And so we went, and it was the seafood restaurant, and we had a lot of seafood, and we had this cake. My brother had just been diagnosed with celiac disease, so he had this gluten-free cake, and it was the shit. And we saw the sunset, and we were driving back on the San Diego highways, and my mom was like, "I don't feel good." And I was like, "Oh, no." And it was just traffic all over, because it was seven, but it was a city. And so she had gotten food poisoning, and we were stuck in traffic an hour, and she cried in the car.
And I would too.
And yeah, it was bad. And I was the only one who realized it, because I was 10, but I knew what food poisoning was, and I knew what vomit and diarrhea were. And I knew they were coming.
I didn't learn till I was 15.
I knew they were coming, and I knew that the traffic was hindering their arrival, and I knew the pain. And I just had to watch it. Traffic.
I'm a fan of that story. So I'll go with mine, since I came up with the word. When I was 6 years old, there was across the street from us, there were these train tracks, and you couldn't really see. There were trees in front of it, but my dad was a huge fan of trains, still is this day. We would go see trains, and then we would come back. And I don't remember if we went to see trains this day or we just were, going to the tracks, which is something that happened as well. But I do remember we were coming back, and I was probably even younger than six. I was probably pre-kindergarten or in kindergarten. And there was a car coming. My dad's like, all right, let's go quickly across the street. And I hung back because in the theme song of Batman the Animated Series, he leaps out of the way of a moving car very close to when it hits him. So I get myself in a ready position, get myself in a crouch, and I'm like, all right, we are diving out of the way of this moving car. And the car obviously was not going to entertain the game. They stopped and went like this. What are you doing? And my dad came and grabbed me and was very, very angry at me. And he was like, why would you do that? I was like, I watched Batman the Animated Series. He was like, well, don't do what Batman does. So that was the day that I couldn't become Batman anymore. And that's all I remember from that story.
Just imagine you, like, your lucky day where the guy was like, I remember when I watched Batman. I wanted so bad for a car to just speed by me.
Let's just do this shit.
Yeah. Actually went through with it.
If only.
Yeah. I my story with traffic, I guess, you know, automobiles are usually involved with it, although you could have foot traffic, I guess. But we went to North Carolina, the Outer Banks, for a for vacation, and we went on the beach. I'm not sure if I mentioned this story before, actually, but if not, hey, you know, why not a retelling of it? We went on the beach, and this I'm the youngest of five, so it was my parents and then five of us. So we had like the suburban, suburban tank, you know, huge car. Fit a lot of people. So we're on the beach and we're driving. We're like, yeah, we're having a great time. Everything's great. And then my dad was like, oh, let's see how close we can get to the water. And our car got stuck. And so my sister is known for being hysterical at all moments. And like, have you ever seen The Incredibles?
Yeah.
Like when they first land in the water and the one kid pops up and he's just like, we're all dead. We're alive right now, but we're dead.
I love that.
My sister gets out of the car and she's hysterical. She's like dry heaving out of panic. And she's like, tide is going to take our car away. We have to get everything out of the car. And like, I was just laughing. It was a good time.
Where can you drive with a car at the beach?
It was like, I mean, it was... I don't know. It was just like you were able to drive.
It's yeah. It's just this. There's like these really expansive beaches where it's larger than a road.
Yeah.
That just cars drive up and down. Yeah.
A lot of people do like four wheeling and stuff. Like
that. No, it's a good.
That's not a good idea.
That's the only way you get into the sand dunes in the back.
Yeah.
And
with a Suburban that you have from home, or
well, some people do Suburbans from home.
Yeah. Not from home.
Yeah. Some people do Suburbans not from home. Some people do like those all. Terrain vehicles that we took like a ride with a guy. We took a
well, that's acceptable. But
yeah, they like you can rent them.
Yeah, what we did was we opened up the trunk and like there were a couple other families I went to and like you would have just food on the back and you bring like a portable stove, build a campfire, sing kumbaya. All
so
that
this
bullshit.
Wasn't your Ford Explorer that you just drove down to the beach.
I'm sorry, what?
So this wasn't like a Ford Explorer that you just drove down to the beach and was like, hey, let's drive by the beach today. Let's drive on sand.
No, like there was like, yeah.
Okay. It wasn't
like
premeditated.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't like there were pedestrians on the beach and were like, they'll move. They'll move out of the way.
That's what I was picturing. Okay.
Yeah,
No, it's a beach specifically for driving.
Yeah.
And
but
cookouts.
Okay. A tip I learned, if you do get stuck in the sand, take your floor mats, put them underneath your tire. That gives you enough traction, and then you get out. You keep on going.
Wow.
So if you guys are ever in a pinch. So that's my story.
Okay, mine is one of my first experiences with traffic. It was the day I was supposed to get my license. And I was driving the truck that I was going to be driving for probably the rest of my life. And I went with my mom because
there's a chance that you'll make money in your life, and you won't. And also, a truck won't hold up for your entire life. It's not a tortoise.
I know, but I don't want to live in a place where I need a car.
True.
So anyway, yeah, I want to live in Venice. I just want to drive jet skis forever. But I want to. So me and my mom, we were driving, and then we accidentally drove past the place where they do the thing, which is the police station. So we pull into a. So it was like, okay, shit, we missed it. So we pull into a driveway. And then as I'm backing out, we hit another car. And at this point, my mom just says, just go. Don't look. Nobody saw. Just go. So then we drive back to the police station, and I take my test, and I'm at this point I'm very nervous. So I fail the cone portion, and then I'm thinking, oh shit, I just failed all of it. But apparently it's two. So during the next part, I just like kind of like fucking. I just like started like driving around, like not turning on my blinkers on purpose because I knew I already failed. And he's like, so we get back. He's like, well, you passed the second part.
No.
But you failed the cones. And then that's the story. And then I went home, and then my truck is black, so I took a Sharpie and covered it in because we hit a red car. No. And my dad wouldn't see it. No, and he didn't notice it for a while.
Wow, did he notice it, though?
He noticed it eventually.
Oh, my God. That's a great story. Okay, well, Hannah, I think it's time for you to introduce your partner and guest.
Partner and guest, Babs. Here she is. Should I say what we're doing together? Okay. Babs Jules, a remarkable woman, senior. She works at the Kennedy Art Museum. She does gluten-free stuff in her stomach and in her life.
And in other people's stomachs?
And in other people's stomachs with the Gluten-Free Alliance, which we allied together. I'm not drunk.
So, Babs, do you have a story for us about traffic?
You know, I don't.
That's okay. Do you have any comments? Have you ever been in traffic?
Yeah, once or twice, I think. Actually, where I'm from, back in the 937, so like the Dayton area, you basically had to enter traffic to go anywhere you wanted to go. So there was no foot traffic. It was either like tractor traffic, which you could drive when you were like age 6 or so. I didn't have a tractor, but I did have a car when I was 16. And then pretty much anywhere was like half an hour drive away, and I don't miss it.
Yeah, I was in Dayton sometime. My siblings had a soccer tournament there, and the fields were in two different places, and they were half an hour apart. Mm-hmm. And then my GPS took me... I, for some reason, had like the eco setting on, where it doesn't take you on the highway, it takes you on back roads, and that was terrifying. That was the worst thing ever. And they were doing construction in like downtown Dayton, so or by the university, and
which is always under construction.
Each time I tried to get onto 71, it wasn't there. It was literally just like a gate, and I was like,
71 is not eco friendly.
Is that? Oh yes, no, it's not. It's bad, especially now with all the construction because you're stopping and starting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's scary when you're like, all right, I'm gonna get on the highway now, and then it's just a fence, and you're like, well. Gonna go forward.
I've never hit a fence while trying to get on the highway, but
yeah, I mean, I didn't.
That's
hit
an experience.
Them. They were just there.
It would be in Dayton, Ohio.
Like metaphorically, she sort of hit it like you hit a wall in your life.
Yeah. Only in your car, trying to get on 71.
Only in your car. So, Hannah, I assume we had something that we wanted to talk to Babs about being on the show. What is it? Ask her a question.
So, do you want to just talk about the, I guess just GFA and then also your work with the Student Senate committee thing?
That'd be fine.
Yeah, so.
Focusing on the food, it is appropriate for diner night.
It is appropriate for diner night. I've gone on a couple rants on other podcasts about how I can't eat anything here.
And that's those rants never end.
And I feel bad, though, because it's like, but then sometimes I'll find myself just like staring at somebody's plate of food.
With jealousy.
She does stare, like, a lot like, it gets to be, like, animalistic. Like, there's
like
a glint in the eye.
Yeah, there's food porn behind that brain.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
What? We're getting the carafe.
The carafe.
Carafe?
It's called a carafe. It's
called it just looks like a really big plastic pitcher.
It's well insulated.
It is well insulated. It has to be.
I'm touching coffee right now, but my hand's not hurting. This insulation is great.
Do you want to just talk about that?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, just like go?
Yeah, I guess just go. We met with the Culinary Services of OU over the summer, and that was an event. Mm-hmm. I've never been with a table of adults like that before. where, like, I'm supposed to be telling them things. I don't know. It was very strange. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a strange relationship.
Yeah.
But it seems like they listen pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, they've redone the labels and Baker and then in all the dining halls. I just found out today they even have non-dairy yogurt.
Yeah, somebody was telling me that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, the labels in Baker, so I went to Baker and I looked at things that I had gotten, I'd eaten before mm-hmm. that were labeled like that they had gluten now. And I was like, that they've been making those the same way. I was just eating it. Thanks, guys.
Mystery resolved.
But yeah, so interesting, on a committee of the Student Senate of Ohio University. Mm-hmm. Do I have to keep saying what college we were?
We go to Ohio University, located in Athens, Ohio.
Near Dayton.
Right, near Dayton, about 3 hours away. So very near.
Main campus.
It's near compared to Nebraska.
That is true.
Near Nebraska.
Yeah, so talk about committees and bureaucracy. Go.
Oh, all right. I'll just start at the beginning.
Yes.
So this is the Culinary Services DC thing.
Yes.
Yeah, we actually had a meeting today. We have meetings on Monday. We usually meet in the dining halls, which it's much better than it was when I started here. There's actually edible stuff. And it is separated. They have the Nut House, which is great.
I love the Nut House.
It is nice. It's a good gesture. The committee, we occasionally meet with the faculty and staff of the dining services. Pretty much only every other week, though. So today we just sat around and made a Prezi. I've never used Prezi before, so that was exciting. Basically outlining some points that we want to take to our meeting next week when we meet with the same committee that we met with over the summer.
So we had a monthly meeting for the tour guides, and the person who came in today was a culinary services guy. So like, would you say, like, I think, you know, they are definitely making strides. Would you say the dining halls are where they should be yet in terms of providing gluten-free services, especially since, like, they just did a bunch of new things this year, like a bunch of new things that went into effect?
I think it's difficult because when you talk about food allergies, it's just a downward spiral, because if you're, you know, if you can't have gluten, then you know people can't have shellfish, or they're lactose intolerant, or they're vegan, and so it gets really complex. And I think they're hesitant to make like a hierarchy of allergies, but they have they have created a gluten-free bakery portion of their main bake house thing.
Right, yeah. A lot of our food is actually, I didn't even know this, a lot of our food is actually made here, like, from scratch, which is insane to me.
Yeah, they source, I think, local when they can. I know they go to Chester Hill Produce Auction.
Yeah, so I'm sure you don't want to throw people under the bus, especially if you work with them, but, like, what I guess, like, what
who
needs to be done, or like is it being done, or are there still roadblocks that you're hitting?
Well, I mean, as Hannah mentioned the word bureaucracy, this is still very much a bureaucratic process. So we say what we want, and then they take a long time to process it and to rephrase it and say it back to us, and then we have to like correct their understanding of it. But we're working on a proposal right now to create like a vegan station. So we have the Nut House. We're working on a vegan station and then a gluten-free section, and then just better labeling. So it's going somewhere, but it's slow because it's hard to get people to prioritize these whiny gluten-free kids over any sort of larger concerns that they might have.
So please address the whininess, which is something that I find very interesting in food allergies. My brother had a food allergy of a sort. It's pretty minor, especially compared to what you guys have. But where do you encounter the whininess, and like, what's people's stereotype of you, and where does it come from, do you think?
Well, whininess originates in my own mind. I'm really curious, Han. I wonder what you think of this. Is that once we've turned the whole world to be gluten-free, what are we going to complain about? probably eggs.
Yeah, eggs.
That's next.
Eggs.
No more chickens.
Yes.
Or birds.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, well, because eating is kind of an essential part of living, I would say. So
for most of us.
Right. So I feel bad every time I try and complicate it, because it's something that kind of is a necessity, and you know, you got to get it done, especially in college. There's so much else that's happening. It's like, well, I'm just gonna grab this and I'm gonna go leave. And if I'm saying like, well, I can't have any of that, so like, I don't know, it just it feels like I'm inconveniencing people.
Is that something that's, do you feel like is perpetuated by like the atmosphere around you, or do you feel like that's something that's just like a little voice in your own head?
I think it's mostly in the mind, but again, it's like something that it's something that I mean, I deal with all the time, and has like, it's hard to explain the consequences to somebody. Mm-hmm. When somebody's like, well, this might have a little bit of gluten in it, is that okay? And I'm like, no, because it destroys my life for like 2 weeks. But it's hard to explain that, because I don't know, people don't, and I don't even understand how like food can affect the mind, but it does. It makes sense. It's just like medicine, kind of, right? Like delicious medicine, I would say.
Anything that changes your behavior is a drug. That is my impression of my 8th grade health teacher, who was a woman, so I don't know. That was not her voice.
Was it the, what's the lawyer chicken? Or no, what? Futurama? Yeah, from Futurama. Now, I'm just a simple country chicken lawyer.
The
suitcase, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, if it's a little bit like that, I guess. I don't know. It was a strange impression.
Or what's just the chicken from Looney Tunes? Anyways, I digress.
Yeah, but it's sort of Foghorn
Leghorn or something like that.
Foghorn Leghorn, yeah. Yes. Foghorn Leghorn.
I'll say.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely someone that I aspire to be. Well, Matt and Chase, we haven't heard from you guys in a while. What is your experience with food allergies? /food?
I'm perfect, so I have no food allergies.
Do you know anyone with food allergies?
I know Hannah Tacoris, and then I just met Babs tonight. My roommate has asthma, so he might be allergic to air.
Yes, so somewhat. Hannah also has asthma.
That's about it. Joe Skirm has asthma, too.
Yes,
so that's,
I've actually encountered...
Oh, Matt is allergic to nuts.
Well, thanks, Chase. I have a food allergy. No, I'm slightly allergic to tree nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be worse, but I think I'm slightly outgrowing it. My mouth just gets very itchy. My throat semi-closes up, but it's not, like, life-threatening. So I know if I eat it, because, like, a lot of the times granola will be like, oh, it's just...
May contain nuts.
Yeah, kind of, but then, like, some of them actually has chunks of almonds in it, but then some of it doesn't. And so it's always a gamble.
I have a question for you. If your whole mouth itches, how do you scratch it?
It's disgusting, because I have to make... It's like when your ear itches almost, and you kind of have to go... And, like, just make disgusting noises. I just constantly run my tongue over, like, the roof of my mouth, and I just...
You look like you're jonesing pretty hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. It's not good. Yeah. But I can eat peanut butter. Okay, with
is
peanut
that
butter.
A tree? Can you specify what tree nuts are?
I
get the general concept, but
like cashews, walnuts, pistachios, stuff like that. But I guess a peanut is technically a legume, mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess I'm okay with that, and I can eat coconuts, but I don't know if that's technically a nut. Somebody got in an argument with me about it, and I honestly do not know.
It's such a weird thing that peanuts are separated from tree nuts to me. Like, I guess it makes sense, but it's almost like these allergies feel like, I don't know, like God was just like, but peanuts they can have. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Well, because, so I've increasingly become allergic to things. Well, just like that I can't digest them too. And each time I don't understand it. Like, even though I have food allergies, each time I'm like, but listen, an egg is so simple. An egg.
You were an egg at one point.
Yes. I was. But how could... What is in that thing that could be upsetting.
And why does it get worse over time?
And chicken curses, I believe.
Chicken curses. they scratch their eggs. Scratches your soul. But yeah, I don't understand it.
Some people lose their allergies, though.
Yeah.
Or like, my biology freshman, my biology teacher freshman year.
He owns a freshman.
biology.
He keeps him. Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it, okay?
Specifically for biology purposes.
I've got a pre-algebra.
Yeah.
I've got a pre-algebra one. I've got a art history one. I have a biology freshman.
Yeah.
No, but freshman year, my biology teacher told me, he's like, hey, I wasn't allergic to strawberries for a long time, and one time I just ate a strawberry, and I almost died, and he was alone in his kitchen.
Oh, no. That's so sad, because when you eat a strawberry, you're like, yes, this is going to be delicious.
But this time, he was like, no!
A lot of people that are lactose intolerant, they say, like, oh, yeah, you'll grow that out, like, or you'll grow out of it.
Your lactose intolerance.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I've been working on it for a year.
Okay. All right. It's,
how does lactose
late.
Intolerance turn into an afro? That's what I asked. But it did. It was just
your lactose intolerance looks great. What'd you do with it?
Perm.
I got it thinned out. Yeah. No, but they say, like, usually if you're lactose intolerant, a lot of people grow it out by the time they're, like, 10 or something like that. Because my one friend, he's really, like, he can't eat beef. He can't. He just, it's everything. He's still as allergic to it as he was when he was younger.
Just got to wait for that 10th birthday.
What if somebody was allergic to, like, they just lost their chocolate allergy. So they're like, I'm going to get some, like, chocolate-covered strawberries. But then they also found out, like, their strawberry one started the next day. So they were eating their chocolate-covered strawberry.
They weren't in tune with their allergy calendar.
No, thinking.
Allergy, activate.
What if your allergies were different each day and you didn't know and you had
you'd
to find
probably
out?
Probably die,
no.
Hannah.
It'd be like those dining hall calendars. You'd eventually have to make one of those.
No, it's just random.
Yeah.
Like one day you're allergic to the sun and then the next day you're allergic to peanuts.
Right.
And the next day you don't wake up.
You're allergic to daytime. Yeah. I know that's the same as the sun. But.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. I guess what's funny, like, the allergy conversation for me has always, with Hannah, turned into, like, but what if, but what if, but what if? Because it's such a nebulous concept that, like, has such real, like, consequences if you make the mistake, which is just horrifying. It's
you
like,
actually,
oh, I guess rice now is a thing, yeah.
You actually bring up a point, I guess, that...
She almost said interesting point, and luckily...
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Well, I mean,
well, it's not that interesting.
Yeah, it's just, you know, let's just settle for point for now, but... like, actually having any sort of relationships, like friendships, or even with your parents, or with, like, significant others is really difficult, because, I mean, I dated this guy for a couple years, and, like, he still, by the end of our relationship, did not understand what I could and couldn't eat, because it fluctuated so often. And like now the concept of dating, be like, oh yeah, let's go to the bar. Oh, I can't have gluten. So, yeah, you're going to get, you got like some Listerine on you or maybe like a toothbrush and then like, oh, have you eaten milk in the last 24 hours? Or it just gets impossible to communicate like what, like Hannah, like you said, like the effects. It's like, oh, well see this body, it will get like twice the size in a matter of seconds. That's not hot at all.
No, yeah.
The swelling is terrifying. The swelling is so scary. You become just like the Michelin Man in seconds.
It sounds terrifying.
It's so scary. I can't describe. Talk about body image.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, my body image issues are like... Oh, I guess there are sudden realizations that I look like something that have happened to me in my life, and like now factor that into like daily or weekly, and it's just like, what? Like, I mean, I couldn't even imagine like waking up and looking different every other day. So I like, yeah, that's a scary thing.
Variety is the spice of life.
I'm 20 pounds heavier now, and now I'm 20 pounds lighter. Yeah, I don't know. It's just... Yeah, it all feels so random. I don't know.
It does, because there are days where, like, I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, okay, this is fine. But the other days, I'm like, I can't go outside.
And even that can be just, even if you don't have allergies, that just depends on what you've eaten and if, like, you've eaten stuff with lots of salt because that, like, makes your body swell up.
Yeah. That's I just usually feel that way after eating, like, waffles.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Those are pretty dense.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, they have fried Oreos here, if anybody's interested.
I've had them. They're so good.
They're lactose free.
Are they actually?
Yeah, there's nothing but sugar and fake sugar in that.
Sweet Jesus.
That white stuff in the middle.
I do believe it. I do believe it.
Mm-hmm. I made Oreos one time.
Did they sue you?
Yeah, they came. They came for me.
You get an email from Nabisco as soon as you make Oreos.
Decoros.
Yeah, they're called chocolatey O's, so they're mine. Yeah, I made them, and after making them, I didn't want to eat them because they were just disgusting to make. Just so much sugar and shortening, just like... Rah, rah, rah. That's what they were...
Is that the sound that they made coming out of the oven?
That's the sound they made.
As you pour out the sugar, it doesn't come out like that powdery sound. It comes out like... Mow, 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 mow.
And when you took it out of the oven, were they saying, kill me.
Yes.
Kill me.
Yes.
I imagine it turned into like Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
Where they all started talking to you.
Well, yeah, because they have like... They opened up and the... Maybe kind of yeah, them. Their teeth were the white stuff and they just...
Hannah. Hey, and a girl.
Why you make so many? It made so many. It made too many. 'Cause
5,000.
It made 5,000 Oreos. My house is made of Oreos. I don't know if you guys.
Just misread a decimal and it went too far.
The plot of Office Space, but with Oreos. Babs, what else do you want to talk about?
Whatever is being talked about.
I don't know. Any issues to bring to the board? Or, Matt, you have a question.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm assuming, was this like a thing that you dealt with growing up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The gluten allergy?
I mean, like a lot of food allergies.
Yeah.
Is that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's actually not at all. But I found out when I was in college, like, like many other people actually do. So basically up until that point, I was sleeping like 12 hours a night. I couldn't figure out why, like, my body didn't work most of the time. And I was kind of, I mean, I would say a little bit loopier than I am presently. So I think that just figuring these things out, I found a really nice doctor who is an osteopath, and she's really willing to just send me to get tests over and over and over again to figure out what I'm allergic to or what I'm intolerant to. So, like, her involvement really made a difference, invited those revelations that I can't eat 95% of what most people eat.
Yeah, my brother had celiac when he was like really little. So he got diagnosed with diabetes when he was 5 and then celiac when he was 7, which is that you can't eat gluten.
Yeah.
And so he had been doing it for a very long time. And, like, we would always make fun of him on vacations because there was never anything for him to eat at restaurants.
That was nice of you.
And he would cry. And we would make fun of him, and I, like, didn't realize.
Classic.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't realize how awful it was for him. I remember my mom, when she first realized that he was intolerant, there was this stuff called Pirate's Booty, and it still exists. It's called Pirate's Booty. Get your laughs out now.
I just like, it's like your mom figured out, my son's intolerant.
Yeah. Did you guys do home experiments?
Racially? Or?
I just walked in on him one day. I was like, you're intolerant.
I also think Pirate's Booty is, I've never thought of this before, but the idea of Pirate's Booty is like a workout film. Like, you're going to get that Pirate's Booty.
X, X, X.
I mean, I've thought about Pirate's Booty as pornography, but I've never thought of it as a workout.
P90X, X. If you watch P90X, you'll get it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
X, X, okay.
Chase is, yeah, Chase is actually an Xer. Anybody else here a P90Xer?
I just watched the clips of the guy. I've never done it. I've just watched clips of the guy because he is insane.
It's a story. There's like... If you pay attention enough, there's, like, back characters and then side characters and, like, relationships building. because he's with this woman named Drea, who is also, and she does the videos as well. And in one video, she wore a denim jacket to work out in. And then, like, she took it off, and he's like, the jacket's coming off, Drea. It was a denim jacket. And then there's this one woman named Moraine, who is German. And then there's this one scene where she's like...
There are scenes.
Well, she's like, they're doing this, like, stretching where it's called, like, turning the soup. And, like, he's like, so what kind of soup you making? And she's like, I'm making some German potato soup. He's like, if that ain't P90X, I don't know what is.
What?
I like how you said there's a backstory and there's a bunch of characters and there are scenes that happen. But all you said is that one woman took off a denim jacket and there's a German woman making soup.
So what else do you need?
I know, it's a surrealism film. He's judgmental as well
with the soup. Because this one guy is like, I'm making a lobster bisque. He's like, that's not P90X, too much salt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, German potato soup is pretty, like, that's also a dense food.
Yeah,
like,
that's and plus it's imaginary. They're just spinning their arms and nothing.
Right.
Listen, we're suspending our disbelief for your story, Chase. You shouldn't be the one to bring us crashing back down to Earth.
Okay.
Well, you know, as someone who used to do P90X, like, back when I cared, they had that plot line with, like, I think the redhead and then the guy who were, like, getting engaged. And every single one, he would get really excited and say, you know, they met on this program.
Oh, I remember them. Yeah,
yeah, right? Right? Mm-hmm. See, memorable characters. Right,
and then there's
P90X. Pam.
Do you remember Pam?
You're gonna have to. Refresh.
There's this one. I don't, there's this one, not scene, but episode where they're doing this exercise where you have to run, and they're moving their arms, and he goes up to her. He's like, she's like, they're coming for you, Pam. They're gonna get you. They're gonna get you, Pam. They're coming.
Was Pam the acrobat, or was that is that Drea?
Pam was the African American woman with, like, really short hair.
She
always wore the green tank top.
But no denim jacket.
No denim jacket.
No leather jacket.
No.
No jacket.
And is Tybo, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, so pirate's booty.
Oh, yeah. We'll get back to it. We'll get back to that. I won't talk about Tybo.
No, talk about Tybo.
Yeah, I did Tybo. My mom had all the tapes, and she would get
just a question. Is this Billy Blank? Are we talking Billy Blank here?
Oh, yeah.
We're talking Billy Blank.
Is there
Billy
any
Blank.
Other Tybo?
Right. I don't think
I don't know. I thought it was like a martial art. Apparently, it's just Billy Blank's creation.
Billy Blank's boot camp.
God, I love him.
He's like Billy Blank.
So my mom had some Tybo tapes when we were growing up, and she would wake up in the mornings and do them, and I would do them as a child. And then when I got older, I did them because I was always angsty when cross country wasn't happening. I just needed to get it out. And I couldn't run in the cold because I have asthma too, so breathing in the cool air.
Oh, it'll...
Ooh, it freezes up your lungs.
I run for like 20 minutes tops when it's cold out, and then I go back inside. It's
yeah.
too much.
Yeah.
I just like... I was angsty.
Yeah, I was. I was so angsty. Well, this is the angst. We'll get to the angst. So my parents wouldn't let me have, like, boys over. And I had my first boyfriend my sophomore year of high school. And so I would go down to the basement and do Tybo for an hour. And so I decided that I was going to have him sneak over into the basement while I was doing Tybo in the basement. And, like, my basement, you just walk down into it, and you see. And so, but I was like, no, this is a good idea. And so, the past couple times, my siblings had come down during it and, like, scared me. Because I was sitting this way, like, looking at the TV, obviously, like, you're doing Tybo. And I was like, if you guys come downstairs and scare me during Tybo, I will kill you. And they were like, we better not do it. And so, like, it happened. And it was so scary. It was terrifying. And we, like, you know, made out. We made out with Tybo happening in the background. Because the Tybo had to still be happening so they could hear the Tybo. But, like, we were making out on the couch.
I had misheard the story. And I thought, I didn't know there was a boy there at the time.
Yeah.
And then you had just yelled at your siblings. And then you go to, and then we were making out.
Oh. No, yeah, the boy came over, and we were making out with Tybo in the background.
I personally can't make out without Billy playing.
Yeah.
He's my motivation.
He was like, can we please not have Tybo happening? And I was like, no, we need it for the story.
Billy Blake was like, shut up.
Yeah. And so
you listen to Hannah.
So an hour goes by very quickly, you know, in the throes of passion. And he was like, I want to stay a little longer. And so I go upstairs and I ask my mom, because I could have just put on another tape, but I was afraid that they would come down. They were like, oh, it's going to be more than an hour. So I go upstairs. I'm like, Mom, I want to do Tybo for another half an hour. Don't come downstairs. And they were like, okay, whatever.
I imagine you after Tybo, you come out smoking a cigarette.
Oh, yeah.
That Billy Blank just understands me.
Could you... Tybo was pretty intense, though. An hour and a half of Tybo would have been way too much. That would have not been good... Anyways, I don't know why that was allowed.
I just remember the... Where you, like, spin your hands
Yes,
really
that's
fast.
The only thing that I remember.
Yeah.
And you do them in opposite directions.
Yeah, you go
weird.
Almost like the punching bag type thing. That motion where you, like, roll them. Yeah, that's all I remember.
I'll do it. Here, hold the mic.
Okay. Yeah, she's doing...
It's like the Tina Turner... wheels keep on running. Almost like that move.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So my experience with Tybo was we had a summer gym when we were in high school. We were just going into high school, so it was before my freshman year. My mom's like, you're gonna take summer school, you're gonna get your gym requirement out of the way. And I was like, fine, okay, whatever, Mom. And so we did it, and they'd have stations. It was like all the gym teachers from middle school is at our middle school, all the gym teachers from middle school, and like a couple of other random assorted people. Each station was like, it was like obstacle course, and then like frisbee and lacrosse and football, and you go between them, and then just one Tybo station, one station just for Tybo, and it was completely and utterly absurd that they were doing a Tybo station. But I guess like they couldn't, like there weren't enough fields to not do something inside, and they were like, we got to use the choir room, better just put on Tybo.
That's how we, like, our summer gym was the same way, where it was like you could do ultimate frisbee and all this stuff, and then there was like, or you could do step box with the only female gym teacher who's over 50, and like that was it. And I got stuck with that because it was a first come, first serve basis. So it was me and then like just a bunch of girls that wanted to stick with their friends so they could sit and talk. And like for 2 weeks, I talked to nobody.
Because nobody did the goddamn workouts that they put on the screen. Everybody just giggled.
I'll tell you what. My knees can reach my nose now, though. You go step on the box, bring your knee up. Down, step on. Oh yeah!
Especially since I got a whopping 7 inches on the presidential flexibility test, which means I could reach. I barely even reach the yardstick, and like you put your feet against the wall, and then you have to stretch forward as far as you can. And most people get like 20 something, like they can touch their toes, and like my back barely went past 90 degrees, and I was going, and I could not reach more than 7 fucking inches.
I have 2 statements or questions. What is summer gym, and is the presidential fitness test, is that a real thing?
Did you go to school?
I did, but I've only seen that on TV. My school didn't do it.
Yeah, summer gym is just like you, so I don't know how long yours was, but it's usually like 6 weeks during the summer, so you don't have to take gym during regular school.
My school did not have that.
Yeah.
You had to have a death certificate to get out of a day of summer gym. Like literally, they're like, if your grandma dies, you better bring in her death certificate. And I was like, no, grandma.
Yeah, there was sometimes if I eat stuff in like early in the morning, my stomach just doesn't handle it because like you just woke up. Don't eat food. And so I woke up real early and I ate like 2 Pop-Tarts, which my stomach could not handle. I have a very sensitive stomach, and bad time to say that, I guess. Anyways, so like my stomach just eating stuff in the morning though does not handle it well. So I go to summer gym and we're walking around. We would do like a lap before we started everything, and I just yarfed like on my. It was a bad day because it was like a 1-2 punch. There's a kid 20 minutes before me, he jumped onto a pile of mulch, and he had a stick that was about 6 inches just get wedged into his shin.
No!
Yeah. And he was just laughing about it. The kid was crazy. I loved him. Named Davidson. Anyways, and then after that, I just yarfed on my feet. And so I got out of gym for one day.
That's great.
Yeah. But yeah, they were very serious. It was like, you can't call in sick.
Right.
Throw up slang from you over the past year or so.
What else have I said?
You taught me what yacked was, and I did not know what that was. And then yarfed, which I just learned now.
The presidential fitness test is a test that... I'm sure Ronald Reagan made it up. Like, find a guess who made it up. It's Ronald Reagan. And
Googling it now. It was Taft.
Yeah. And so it's like six things that you have to meet to do it. There's like sit-ups, there's pull-ups, there's a shuttle run, which many people have broken arms on, at least in my school. You run back and forth on a gym in like a 50 yards, I think it is. And so you're like turning around very quickly, and then you fall, and then you break your arm. I like really messed up my knee during it. It's bad.
They rate you like 1 to 10 on the fall, like on the break?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's a mile run, and there's the toe touch, whatever that, what's it called? Flexibility test. And if you...
That was where I got the 7.
I think if you get 5 out of 6, or maybe 6 out of 6, I don't know what the rules are. I think you have to get all of them. And if you get all of them, you're presidentially fitnessed.
Fit to be president.
Yeah.
You're in the running.
So yeah, I'm very surprised your school didn't do that.
It's awful, because like you do it in front of all of your peers, yeah. Which I'm not a sprinter, and we had like... 15 track kids in my group, and like they just blew me out of the water, and they announced your times in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. And I was like, just don't.
You're like, man, I bowl.
Yeah I was like, just like write it down, pass me a note or something. I don't want to hear it out loud.
Yeah. And I ran cross country in high school, so I don't always did really really well on the mile, because I ran distance, and I was like, yeah guys, I got this. And then I literally could not do one push up or pull up. Or both of them. I couldn't do either of them.
We did this thing where we had to walk or like run around the track or power walk around the track.
Yes, people were allowed to power walk.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And like it was the first time that I realized I was like good at cross country. Like I could run distance. And so I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to beat everybody. And I was in the lead, way ahead. I was streets ahead. And I got a bloody nose on like the opposite end of the track from where my gym coach was. So I was like, shit. So I start going around, and my nose is still bleeding, but I'm like still trying to power walk. And he looks at me and he goes, he just starts shaking his head, and like his jaw drops a little bit. And I just pass him casually like, nope, I'm going to do well. I'm going to beat everybody still. Don't worry about it. My nose is still bleeding. And he's like, Matt, you need to go inside. I was like, I'm good. There's blood all over it. We had to wear a white shirt. Anyways, that's all I got. I'm sorry. I'll leave.
I don't know where you guys went to high school where summer gym actually mattered. Like for mine, we showed up and played this Ultimate Frisbee, which, by the way, I don't appreciate you blowing off the seriousness of Ultimate Frisbee.
I was an Ultimate player in high school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I cut my Strike. Nails super short. I like wore wife beaters, so it looks super burly.
Strike from nice. The record. I was not dissing Ultimate Frisbee. I was just saying it was one of the options.
Yeah, it was the best.
Seriously,
option.
White kid at a liberal arts institution. You talk bad about Ultimate Frisbee, you're out. You're
I was into fucking everyone. Hacky sack and back then, man.
We know those hacky sack kids. They lack commitment.
Right. To the Frisbee. And with the thumber. Do you guys remember the thumber? I don't know what that was, but I remember it was called a thumber. And my gym teacher, he was really excited about the thumber, and he said it pretty much any time he could insert it into a conversation. he was quite the character. So now that we're on gym, he had a V-neck, and his chest hair actually complemented his V-neck so well that it turned into a like a turtleneck look, quite honestly. And then we could generally see his balls at the bottom of his shorts.
Yeah. Oh, this is an experience
so
for us.
So this guy would jog the mile with us when we had to do the presidential fitness test. And once I was running with this guy. I was like in the lead, and then my friend who I happened to have a crush on, he was also running with me, and then I look over at my gym teacher who's like jogging along for inspiration, like, yeah, you can do it, and I just I get so distracted and I hit a tree and then I lose the mile that
oh
day.
Man, I so this is funny. Did you guys also have crushes on people in summer gym? I have a couple things on this. So firstly, my crush that I had on in summer gym, she was excellent. I don't know why, because I think she liked me too. I don't know why we never followed up on it. But she went to she ended up going to DePauw for journalism, and she's currently a Today Show intern. They just like worked on her hair. I just watched a clip where they like they like added a hair product to one side of her hair and not the other side of her hair. And she had shared it on Facebook. And I try not to like any of her statuses, but that one I did like, because there were like 100 other people who liked it. So I was like, it's safe. And she'll never listen to this, but I did give a pretty good description of her. But she, yeah, she was excellent. I lost my gym. No, she was just a cool kid. But then the other thing is we had Maid came to our school twice. We had three times to Worthington, but Maid came to our specific high school twice. The MTV show Maid.
Oh, okay. I was like a maid.
No.
A maid came to your school.
Yeah, she just came to do some dusting. Only twice though.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, but So there were two different girls who did a maid episode. One wanted to be a cheerleader, the other a volleyball player. And so the volleyball player episode, she did summer gym, and we just did stupid shit to the camera. Like, we screwed around. But then she had a crush on one of the kids who, she was a year older than us, but he was in our year. And he just was on TV, just like looking all like, they got like the best shots of him, like flipping his hair. And like that went on MTV. He had no idea that it would, but there it was. So that's also very funny. So summer gym crushes. Matt, did you have one?
I mean, I think everybody did, especially because I did summer gym going into my freshman year.
Right, so that's what I did too.
Yeah, so it was like, you know, your first experience with like how our school was set up was we had two separate middle schools. And so, like, I got to meet just a whole group of people from that middle school, but then there was also all the grades above me. I was a naive boy. I had a few crushes. I broke some hearts, and my heart was broken as well. I'll leave it at that.
Did you announce your tech? Because like my summer gym crush, and
I walked in and
anything.
I said, "I have," and I listed off all the people.
I want you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I never broke hearts, but I got my heart broken multiple times. I was one of those guys that like, what, you listen to music too? Oh man, we're gonna date, and like we never dated. That was just mostly all my crushes at that point. Yeah,
they all had ears.
Yeah, it was like, what,
convenient,
what, you've seen a Wes Anderson film? Are you kidding me? Am I feeling a little bit of electricity?
Listen, my first Wes Anderson film was in college.
Then we would not have dated. Yeah, but that was most of them. I still talk to some of them. You know, good people.
I had a summer gym crush, and it was this guy who showed up in like week two of this massively long program, like 6-week program or so. And only he really failed summer gym because he could only walk. And he couldn't, like, swim or do anything else. And then for a while, this girl that I became friends with, we would kind of, like, pull his chain a little bit. Say, oh, ha-ha, you know, you're in summer gym and you can only walk around in circles on the track. And then he said, oh, I've had surgery. And so then we recanted our statement. And then had some chemistry over the tether ball because he could stand there. You know, he could walk in a circle and he could hit a ball in a circle. It's pretty attractive.
My school did not have summer gym, so I went on to OkCupid.
In high school,
and I found a bunch of people and a middle-aged woman with a short haircut, and we went to the field, and she just yelled at us to run. And then from there, that's where I found love.
if we're talking about kids, generally, Taylor, didn't you spend the summer teaching kids, playing with kids?
Yes.
Don't you have kids?
Do you have a question about that?
What did you do? Was it good?
Nothing physical. There was very... We had like a recess.
Good.
We'll talk about this. Firstly, the presidential fitness test I found from Google no longer a thing. As of 2012, kids will not do the presidential fitness test.
What?
I thought
Michelle Obama was all about...
They switched it to the president's challenge. And there's a whole thing where your scores aren't announced.
Like
and like your scores are... It's like now a data collection thing rather than like you're told if you're obese or whatever. But yeah, so it's nicer now. But at any rate, yeah, so I was... So one of the things that all the kids thought was they thought they could beat me in a race, which is completely absurd. They have tiny legs. I mean, they were going into sixth and seventh grade, and their legs were so unbearably tiny. And so there was this one kid specifically who just told me time and time again, I've got you in a race. It was all because we used to run next to the buses. And like as they would say goodbye, like we run next to the buses, and they were all like, "Man, you are so slow," because they beat me in a bus, like in a motor vehicle. They were faster than me. And it's like, yeah, that's true. Right, yeah. So yeah, I eventually ended up smoking all of them in a race and was like, this is just what's going to happen. Your legs you may take steps faster than me. You may have quicker legs, but you will not beat me in a race. I can outstride you any day of the week. So that's one of the pet peeves was all the kids saying they could beat me in a race.
All their tiny legs.
I just like how competitive you got.
Listen, you can't, so they will not stop. Like, this is the thing you have to realize about children this age, is that under no circumstances will they ever stop taunting you. To the point where, tiny taunts, like, "Oh, Taylor can't read because I made a typo on the PowerPoint," turns into literally like, "Oh, we're going to get you some literacy help," and just day in and day out until finally you're just yelling, "I can read," and you pull out War and Peace and you read them a passage and you're like, "See, fuck off, you little..." No, I don't say that. I swore once for like effect, and they freaked out. I thought I was like, I'm going to say hell, and it's going to get all of their attention. Like, they're going to be like, "Wow, he's passionate about writing." But they were just like, "You're not allowed to do that. I'm going to tell the principal." It was, yeah, it's horrifying.
What did you say?
"You're all going to hell."
No. I just. Said, and this person was like, you know, this person just sort of like, "What the hell?" And like, it was just like, it was totally an effect, like, "We're gonna relate" thing, because I hear them swearing every day. But like, they're at this age where they think that swearing is something you can only do when you are 11, and then like, as soon as you turn 18, it's like, "I have lost the ability to swear. I am now full of propriety." But yeah,
I still freak out when my teachers swear. Like, even now, we have, like, they were doing a lesson about James Dean in my one class, and he was like, "Yeah, his father called him a fag," and I was like, am I the only one hearing this right now?
Everyone's like, "Ooh."
I was like,
but that doesn't happen anymore, because in high school you had like everybody else was just like, "Ooh."
Yeah.
But now it's just everybody looks around and it's the internal. Yes.
Yeah. In high school I had two incidents where anyways, there was one teacher, Mr. Boyle, the Latin teacher, where I went to deliver a note to his classroom. I was running something from another teacher, and I go in there, and the people kept talking while he was trying to hold a conversation with me. He says, "Hold on a minute," and he picks up a ruler, and he smacks it against the chalkboard, and he goes, "That was just the thunder. You don't want to see the lightning."
No.
And the only way I can describe this is it's the boxiest man with white hair and a mullet.
I see him.
Yeah. That's like him doing that. And then we had another teacher. He probably wouldn't appreciate if I named him, so I won't. But he was my social studies teacher. And we were all talking one day after a test. And there was still like one person that had to finish a test. And he gets up and he kicks the trash can still full of trash. And he goes, "You guys are fucking pissing me off." And then he, like, tried to be our friends after he yelled at us. And, like, you can't go back from that.
So my social studies teacher did that, too. But, like, he was, like, he loved Machiavelli. And, or, like, he didn't love him. He just, we were learning about him, and so he was using Machiavellian tactics. It was all, you know, actually applying. So I was talking one day, and he threw my desk across the room, and he broke one of his crates. And, like, I was such a little shit back then. I'm like, oh, you broke one of your crates. He's like, I don't care. And then, but that was his thing. He would just, like, he would hit something or, like, go just freak out, do something that, like, terrified everyone, and then, like, 4 weeks of silence. And I think, honestly, I think it's these social studies teachers who are like, I know, you know, I studied Machiavelli, and I'm going to do that. And, yeah. So he was a cool guy, but he's also a shit. So you know how it is.
I had a government teacher, literally the same person, I think. He would, slam, he had a metal desk, and he would slam his hand on it at the beginning of every single class, and it would be terrifying every time because we didn't realize it. He was, people thought he was cool, like, he, but he played favorites, like, he was, like, friends with the popular kids, so I'm sure that maybe, like, if I talked to a popular kid like you, that they would say that he was cool, but I just hated everything about him.
This guy didn't like me. I was generally a popular kid that all the teachers, like, when teachers were into the popular kids, they were into me. But that was not something that, this guy was not into me whatsoever.
All right, well, I hated him. This guy. He had a life-size statue of, not statue.
I coughed myself.
Of Abraham Lincoln in his room. And people would steal it and then take and then, like, give it back.
Was it more of, like, a cardboard cutout?
It was a cutout, yeah.
Okay.
And it was this game that he would play. Like, he was a child. He would play it with them. He would play. There was this kid in our school that did music. He was always the kid who was in a band. Mm-hmm. He was in, like, multiple bands. And this teacher, Mr. Catherine, I'm going to say his name because I hate him. He would play that kid's band CD before class every day, and I'm like, get out of here, get out of high school, yo, like, what are you doing?
He just wants to be loved.
It was sad.
Yeah, the high school teachers who were, like, a part of high school, they're always the scariest. Like, if I, like, I do want to teach high school, but the kids are on their own socially. I will never, ever. I had a couple teachers, my ex-girlfriend in high school, they'd be like, do you two like each other? And we'd be like, yeah, we're dating. But also, what? Shut, no, get out of my life. It was, yeah, it's very strange. It's very strange, especially since they can do so, like, because they're so looked up to, they have so much power, where if they say, you shouldn't like that person, I think they're a hooligan, like, everyone will hate that person. Like, I've had teachers who took advantage of that power, and that is just a nightmare of a situation.
I had a teacher, she was probably like 6th or 7th grade, and she was like, I purposely put two students together because I was hoping they would date, and then they did.
That's terrifying.
That's a crazy person thing.
It's really scary.
All my 6th grade teacher ever did was collect rubber duckies and giant Tupperware containers and, like, kept them. He rotated these rubber duckies.
I put them together so they would date.
And his hands smelled like green beans.
Ew, no. Like, like fresh green beans or canned green beans.
Well, I figured out, like, 10 years later it's because he's a smoker. And yeah, and so in 6th grade, though, he'd always say, Barbara, I'd like you to go get me some iced tea from the cafeteria. And I'd say, oh, great. Yeah, rubber duckies, green bean hands. I'm all over it. And he's like, I'll give you an extra quarter and you can get one for yourself. But, yeah, that was, I don't think that
go
was
go buy something fancy.
Like a milk. Yeah.
A very Mad Men relationship that you had with your teacher. Barbara, go buy me a milk.
Barbara.
There was this one teacher in 7th grade that would buy, you know, those, like, really, those really round suckers they have at Walmart right before the registers?
Like the powdery ones?
The Globes.
The Globe suckers.
That were, like, the crazy flavors, like cinnamon roll strawberry cheesecake.
Yeah, so she would buy them from just somewhere. I don't know where. She would buy them in bulk and then sell them in her classroom. And
she kept the proceeds from that?
Yeah, she kept the proceeds. But the issue is that people took advantage of her because she was a real pushover. And people just wouldn't pay her. They would be like, Mrs. Cohen, I'll pay you back later. And then they just never would. And she had to lose so much money on that. But she just continued to give out these suckers.
They say that the average teacher spends well over $1,000 in their lifetime on school supplies for their children.
But that's also her fault for buying the suckers and trying to sell them.
Oh, no, this was definitely her fault. But I think that she was trying to get, because she had no control over her classrooms. We would just scream. Obviously not me. I was cowering in the back. But people would just scream and scream and just not. And on tests, people would just cheat in the class. This kid named Hooch. Hooch was his name. Hooch was his name. He would just cheat off of me, and I was like, can this be stopped? But it couldn't.
Hooch, baby, you got the only sweet. Sorry, I just think that's a good song.
But she had no control.
If only you'd paid for that sucker, then karma would have, like, circulated back. Well, yeah,
I paid for all the suckers. But then one time I didn't. I was like, no one else is paying for these suckers. I'm not going to pay for it.
That was the moment, Hannah. That was the moment.
Yes. That's
the cheating began.
Yes.
What if the moment you didn't pay for the sucker, she just started crying? And she was like, you were my only hope, Hannah.
Well, we've reached a fairly natural point. I am very hungry. I did not eat dinner in preparation for the diner. I think Nicolette is coming over. Hey, good to see you. All right. So are we ready to order? Chase?
Yeah.
You got it? All right, you can start, buddy.
Do you have blueberry bagels?
We don't. Okay. Blueberry cobbler, and we put a bagel on top of it.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Okay. Innovation.
Stress. I will have small
buzzwords.
French toast.
Okay. Do you want blueberries in there?
Yes, please.
Like the cereal. Yeah, like one grade of the, French toast crunch. Do they still make French toast crunch?
They made it, then they switched formulas to try to match the taste of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I thought they were the same.
Is it different?
Yeah, I thought they were made by the same
French Toast Crunch
people.
Looked like individual slices of bread. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is just the squares with the swirls in it. Mm-hmm. So French Toast Crunch tried to match Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which they lost their original purpose, and it tasted bad, and then nobody bought it.
I can only imagine.
It was my favorite.
Can I have milk as well?
It's all death to me.
Yeah. Give me two smalls.
Two smalls is like a large, though.
Yeah, it's like two thirds of a large.
Yeah.
It's
give
like
me
half
a smaller than half a large. Yeah. Wait, no,
we don't have medium. We have jumbo and large and extra small.
Just do whatever you're comfortable with.
I would give you large because I think he'll drink it.
Okay.
If you don't drink it all, then I'll charge you for small.
I need the protein so it works.
Okay. Balance nice. Out that P90X.
Right, yeah.
X.
Could I get these two pancakes and two slices of bacon? No, thank you. That'll be good. Thank you. Anybody else order?
Could I get the cheese fries with ranch, and should I do bacon or chili?
You can do both.
Oh, wow. Oh, no.
Bacon, chili.
Both would be bacon.
Bacon.
All right, I'll do bacon.
And you said ranch, right?
Yes, please.
Okay. Anybody else?
There we go.
Nope.
Is there any non?
Yeah.
Wait, I hear you guys have broccoli.
Yeah, we have broccoli.
Is that edible?
Yeah.
Could I mean, can I just get broccoli?
Yeah.
Like in a dish?
Yeah, it's just steamed.
That'd be great.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Well, we have one last thing that we do to edit or to end these podcasts, okay. And that is the story challenge, which I think I heard you guys played at an improv.
We did.
Yeah, it was a good time. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Yeah. So
it was nice. Good
way
to kill.
So I'm a huge fan of the story challenge. Babs, you've ordered, so you're in it.
Right.
Normally our guest is gone by this time, but it's going to be very exciting. So who would like to start with a challenge? Who's got a good one?
I challenge you to tell a story.
He challenges Babs.
Mm-hmm. I challenge. I challenge you, Babs. I challenge you. To tell a story about cards.
Okay, I have a card story of cards, card-like in nature.
Mm-hmm.
I make thank you cards for people that I feel thankful towards. And I made a card for a man once because I got to interview him for some research that I was doing at the Kennedy Museum. And I spent an afternoon with him, and he was serving me tea, and we were getting along really well. And so afterwards, I was like, oh, people of former generations really appreciate, like a handmade card. So I put together a handmade card and wrote it out, and I have terrible handwriting. All my vowels look exactly the same, but I painfully inscribed my thanks to this card and mailed it to him. And then I saw him a few weeks later, and he didn't recognize me. And I was wondering, it's like, oh, you know, we spent this whole afternoon together. He must know who I am. But when I started talking and I introduced myself, and said, oh, it's Babs. And he said, oh, Babs, right. So then I realized that I sent him this card, but there's no way he could even see it. So that's the last time I send a blind man the thank you card.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That was beautifully constructed.
That was, yeah. That was great. The revealing detail at the end. Oh.
Are you generally a happy person, though? Because they say one of the, like, the... They say, like, that's, if you want to be happy, it's, like, expressing gratitude to people or giving thanks always. And they say, like, write a letter to people. If you're ever down in the dumps, write a letter. It's something you're grateful for. Does that ever cheer you up?
Yes, I would say so. It makes me feel useful, especially when I can make my own cards. For sure.
That's awesome.
Just asking.
I don't know about the generally happy person, though. I think I'm too anxious for that, but I'm working on it.
Hey, one step at a time.
Right. So now you challenge somebody with another
challenge.
Yeah, you point at any of the four of us.
You
and
don't
say,
have to
I
point.
Challenge you to. Yeah,
I want to point.
Yeah, Matt points it very heavily.
I need to create the atmosphere for this.
Yeah, I was doing the Yu-Gi-Oh.
Right. Yeah. No, I love it.
I challenge you.
Okay.
To a.
Oh, me or Matt?
This one.
Okay, Chase.
Chase, this Chase here, to share a story on. NPR.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not this podcast.
Great.
I will share a story on just, like, talk radio. It won't be NPR specific, so I apologize for that.
No, that's
well,
fine.
Well, yeah, you just go ahead and subvert the challenge.
Well, in my job, I listen to a lot of podcasts because it's, like, one of those jobs where I just, like, have my radio in or whatever.
What is your job?
I work at the HDL Center, which is basically just, like, student data entry or whatever. So if an alumni were to change their email address or phone number, I put that into the system. And it's a very lonely job. So, like, and I sit with these, like, two other girls who work in, like, a different department, but I say hi to them, and they say hi back, and then that's the end of our conversation. I just listen to a lot of podcasts and, like, a lot of Pete Holmes, and this is kind of a fantasy of mine of being on a podcast. And then a really embarrassing podcast story was when one time I was walking my dog, and I was listening to a podcast with these two people talking, and they're talking about London. And then I started getting really into it, and then I imagined I was there in the conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I started moving my hands and, like, giving my input on it.
What?
Via sign language?
Just, like, talking with my hands. And then I was walking my dog, and I looked over the side, and there's this lady sitting on her porch. And it was, like, one of those things where I had to come back around to her house. And then that was just a really embarrassing.
She was communicating like the same hand.
No,
sign.
She was
so,
still
like you were, but you were talking to the people. You were like, now see my thoughts on that. Were...
Yeah, it was like something about London too, which is
just touched down in London.
Yeah, just touched down in London town. Oh, the richest baby. Okay, I challenge Hannah to tell a story about Baker Center.
Baker Center. So we go to a school at Ohio University.
In Athens, Ohio.
Baker
45701.
Baker Center is
near Dublin.
By Kentucky. Right by the Ohio River.
North America.
North America. Western Hemisphere. Earth. Milky Way. All of the stories that I tell are tragic, but that's because I can never remember happy stories. I honestly cannot. So, one time last year, I we perform improv every Thursday in Baker Center. One time last year, I was having a panic attack before improv. And so, to make it better, I said that I will suck on a Tootsie Roll sucker. And I was late, so I was running. And I was like, this is unsafe. But then I was like, no. The thing that I need to do is I need to... make my breathing steady. And to do that, I decided to smoke a cigarette
because of the repetitive motion, but I have asthma, first of all, and also cigarettes. You don't breathe in oxygen. You're not breathing well. And I was running because I was late. And I also had the sucker still. I didn't want to get rid of the sucker. So I was sucking on a sucker and a cigarette and running across the bricks of Athens, Ohio. And so I get to Baker Center for the show, and I'm obviously having an asthma attack from the panic and the lack of oxygen. And so I'm like, I just am flail. Like, I'm just running around Baker Center. Like, I just don't know what I'm doing. I'm not, like, really in the moment. And I'm just, like, running over all the floors because I didn't want anyone to see me freaking out. And I just, like, go up and down. And there was someone I knew on every single floor. And I was just trying to, like, calm down. And I cried. I cried in every single bathroom. All the floors.
All five stories.
All five stories. I cried in one of the bathrooms.
Men and women or just?
Just women. Okay. Restrooms, yeah. And then after the show, too, I was freaking out. And then, like, that was bad because there's, like, this, there's this railing and people can see, like, down the whole Baker Center. And so I went down to the bottom floor to cry that time. And people could see me over the railing, like, running towards the bathroom on the first floor. And I was trying to be discreet, but they could see me the whole time. Oh, no. They really shouldn't have that huge open space.
People won't see me openly crying.
Yeah.
Did you ever run out of Tootsie Pop and cigarette, or did you just...
At some point, I threw away the Tootsie Pop, because I was like, this is the worst of the duo, which it wasn't. I should have kept the Tootsie Pop. And then the cigarette, I have this thing where, like, if I smoke cigarettes, because I feel guilty about it, I have to, like, throw them in a trash can. I can't throw them on the ground. So I still had to hold it. Like, I still had to hold both of them when I wasn't using them and I was running. It was just bad, bad, bad. So, yeah, Baker Center. We've had our days.
Before our next challenge, we will have food.
Edit point.
Edit point. Actually, we generally leave in the the arrival of the food.
Thank you.
Bacon and syrup on the same plate. I
dip
love
the
it.
Bacon in the syrup. Dip the bacon in the syrup.
Okay, all right. Here it comes. Bacon is in syrup.
Oh, my God.
It tastes like, ooh. I don't know, America and Canada.
Thank you.
This is beautiful.
Can I have some butter, please?
Yeah. I think we're doing all right. Yeah,
thank
thanks.
You.
So I challenge Taylor to tell a story about lemonade.
I can't remember if this is a story about Fruitopia or about lemonade, so I'm going to go with it. But we were at a McDonald's. My family and I were at a McDonald's, and my brother had asked for a water, and then he decided he wanted a drink, and this McDonald's was the worst McDonald's in the history of the world. They had this terrible, terrible... It had taken forever. I was only about seven. I don't really remember it. But I do remember what came. My brother asked for this drink, and my mom was like, you know what? Just screw it. Okay. And so she put a drink in a water cup, and it was either lemonade or Fruitopia. It was probably Fruitopia, so I'm probably cheating. The broccoli has arrived. Thank you so much. So at this woman who my mom had already warred with, comes out, she sees that my brother has a drink in the water cup, and like I said, we've waited forever, and she comes out and she goes, excuse me, you didn't pay for that drink. That's in a water cup. You only got a water. And my mom and dad simultaneously freaked out. They simultaneously were like, no, no, no. And so she was like, okay, fine. And she left and went away. And my mom was like, I'm going to do something about this. So she pulls out the 89 cents that it is for a small drink. And she walks up to the counter and she goes, oh, this is for the lemonade or the Fruitopia. I forget. Like, this is for the drink. And she throws all the change at this woman, just throws it at her.
And, on the counter, or like,
oh no,
at
the woman, at throws it behind, all the change Jesus. Clattered to the ground, and then we all walked out of this McDonald's. It was, I don't like, my memory of it was that it was completely justified, but it's a story. It was no, like, yeah, my mom walked away from it like she like people walk away from explosions in movies. It was insane. It was, yeah, it was one of the absolute, it was like the moment when my mom was most of a badass. Like, it was just, it was so cool. But yeah, like I said, I may have cheated. That may have been a story about Fruitopia. I'm not sure.
I don't mind. Lemonade was hard. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought maybe you'd have like a lemonade stand story or something.
No, I never made a lemonade stand. Nobody, I didn't have friends in my neighborhood. And so we never like did experiments like, what if we made a lemonade stand? I had one guy who I did science experiments with. That was it. Matt. You know, the most boring and standard conversation topic in the world is weather. Can you make it interesting for us? Tell us a story about weather.
I was working in the lab late at night. No,
jeez. I'm trying to think. Okay, so... one of my favorite vacations I ever went on, my entire family went out. We rented a boat, a sailboat, because my dad loves sailing, and we went and just sailed from island to island in the British Virgin Islands. And we got to, like, snorkeled.
We just snorkeled. Don't get any falls.
Yeah. No, we got to snorkel, and, you know, it was an awesome trip. But my dad, I love my dad so much, but, like, he is very, he always thinks that he's, like, a hard ass, but he's not. He's a middle-aged man, and I got respect for him, don't get me wrong, but, like the one time there was a snake in our backyard, and he's like, I'm gonna pick it up. And it's like, what do you have to prove?
What kind of snake was it?
It was just a field snake, snake or whatever. It wasn't a big deal. He was like, I'm gonna pick it up, kids. And, like, told us. And it's like, you don't have to. Just, what do you have to prove, Dad? And so
to this every Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the only way that we had communication with the other boat with the family that we went with was through radio and all that stuff. And you also got everybody else, too, because, I mean, it was only a few channels on this radio. And people were like, don't go out. There's going to be a huge squall. And, like... it's going to be awful. Just don't do it. And my dad, once again, kind of has a hubris. He was like, we'll get to this next island before the storm comes. So we're in the middle of the ocean in a small boat. And all of a sudden we see the clouds coming and we're like, oh, you done goofed now, Dad. You fucked up. So we have the sails up and my dad's like, we'll get through it. It won't be that bad. The storm goes on for about 20 minutes. One of our sails rips. The boat's rocking back and forth. My sister, once again, the one that was hysterical before, is convinced that we're going to die. And so she holds up, kind of in the cabin almost, like halfway through. And she's just shouting at my dad the entire time, this is your fault, Dad! This is your fault!
You shouldn't have picked up the gardener's stick.
Yeah, I know. Our sail rips. Everybody's just puking. It was awful. My dad, we finally get to the island after like 30 minutes. Yeah, we finally get to this island. And my dad's like, okay, so we're going out to eat, right? And we're all just pale. And we're just like, Dad, no. No. And so he's like, well, fine then. I guess I'll cancel the reservations. And he got mad at us because we went through a fucking storm. But yeah, that was one of the worst experiences. I thought I was going to die. This boat was very close to capsizing.
Well, Matt, that story was the perfect bookend. The only thing I would add is that everyone on the boat was yarfing rather than throwing up.
Yarfing, yakking, squalping.
Squalping. Squalping.
I squomped all over my shoes. It's just got the good guttural.
Right, that's all it's got to have is just the gutturalness.
But I guess all that there's left to do is
end the podcast.
Sing it out.
Do we want to sing it out? You got a song for us to sing?
I
went to a different island, but there are a couple islands I think you guys want to go to. Mainly Kokomo.
Kokomo. Does anybody know how to sing a song?
We'll just do the... We'll just do the...
No, that's a Guster song.
The chorus. Because yeah, okay. That'll be short, okay. Sweet, to the point.
Let's count it off.
Okay. Three, two, one. Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take you to Bermuda. Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go to Kokomo? We'll get there fast and then we'll take it slow. That's where we want to go. Way down to Kokomo.
Just yelp. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Diner Night. I am Taylor Reinhardt.
Hannah Tacoris.
The artist formerly known as Matt Albini.
Your mom! Chase Montevon.
Just Babs.
Edit point. Don't edit.
So we edit out the Babs is on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
And that wraps another episode of Diner Night. What a blessing to have a guest and a guest host in Babs and Chase who listen to podcasts as obsessively as we do. So much great conversation in this one. So thanks to both of our guests, from Matt, Hannah, and I. Next week, we will be talking to Gabby Thacker as our guest host and Peter Velarde, known as MC Freeman, as our guest. We should have a great talk about music and other things of that nature on tab. So hope you stop by for Diner Night next week.